After the closing jingle, stick around for an interview with John Michael Montgomery, who is retiring tonight. His final show is at Rupp Arena in Lexington, and we're going to talk about that and much, much more after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one. And that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
That's the whitest computer I've ever heard in my life.
It sure is.
It's got no like rhythm.
Me about as blonde beige as they come. I'm like, that wasn't bad.
I feel like the word skedaddle should be used here. Anyway.
Bad. First of all, I have to start off with this. The gold for this week. It's the lark. The lark.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes.
The lark.
And I have terrible news. Have you heard about Michael Sweet from Striper?
Well, what happened?
He has confirmed he's been diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, no.
He had a biopsy on the 17th of November. They found a nodule in his right thyroid. It came back as malignant, and he's got an ultrasound coming up on Monday. And CT and all that kind of stuff. So they're saying he's got papillary thyroid cancer, which is, he said, the good news is it's slow growing, something that the doctors seem very optimistic about. But, you know, if you know anything about us, we are total Striper nerds, big fans of their music and even the Christmas stuff that just came out.
I was going to say, did you pick up the Christmas album?
I did. Oh, I didn't pick it up. I just
I think I told you I was doing a podcast the other night. And we had to do our top 10 favorite Christmas songs, and one of them picked, I think it's Winter Wonderland from Striper.
It's
he's a bigger Striper fan than you guys are. Like, he is a Striper dork.
It's probably the weakest thing they've ever done, though. I will say, as a Striper fan, I get it. Your friend threw it on there because it's his favorite. It would be like, you know, me having to throw, you know, It Always Snows in December or whatever from like Prince or, you know, the April song. I don't know. I'm just saying there are better Christmas songs. There are. There just are. But anyway, I'm very sad to hear about his cancer diagnosis. They put out the album When We Were Kings about a year ago, D, when that one came out?
I guess, yeah.
And they're set for the Monsters of Rock cruise in April. So hopefully...
The amount of people that have been trying to get me to go on that cruise.
Well, hopefully they'll still be on there.
Yeah.
I think it would be great if you saw Striper on a cruise.
Oh my gosh, you know how much that costs? I went and looked, because my friend Courtney, who's a comedian, she came in a couple months ago.
Yeah,
we had done that show. She performs on the Monsters of Rock cruise. Guy Don, he does it as well, that I was working with. And they're like, you need to come, you'd have the best time. And I'm like, well, yeah, you guys get paid to be there. I went and looked up cabin prices, and I'm like, y'all, I'm not doing this. Are you joking? To be, like, sequestered at sea for 3 days?
Do you know who's
going to be on it? With a bunch of people like
it?
Me? There's, like, I want to say, it's like Striper's one of the bigger ones, but there's bands, I want to say, I don't know how many bands you would have heard of that are on there. Yeah, you Google it real quick, but I want to say.
Well, I'm not even doing that. I'm trying to see if there's, a Country Stars cruise. Do they do that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah.
That could be kind of fun. Nobody seemed very... Country Cruising, the Country Music Christmas... No.
Monsters of Rock Cruise, Night Ranger, Queensryche, not including Jeff Tate, Striper, YNT, Slaughter, Steven Adler, DAD, who I've never seen. That could be worth it. Great White, Lita Ford, Quiet Riot. Two main guys are dead. And Nelson, who I do adore, Vixen, Loudness, the Choir Boys, and many other people. Tough. Again, people you haven't heard of. So, yeah, it's a lot of money to go be stuck at sea.
There's a thing they go out. Oh, this is this past year. It doesn't say who's going to be on the new one, but it was Trace Adkins, Clay Walker, Low Cash, Jared Neiman, William Michael Morgan, Kanan Smith, Craig Campbell. Looking for other names that you guys might know. That's about it. But still, it's kind of cool that, you know, they do that. I didn't know they do like a country
New
cruise.
Kids do a cruise every year.
But don't you
it's
get stuck?
It's a really big deal.
Don't you get stuck on the cruise? Like, let's say if you're a New Kids.
Yeah.
Aren't you there with the fans?
Yeah.
And so, like, everything you do, the fans are in the middle of your business?
Uh-huh. But you, because I've had friends who are in bands that have played these, and I said, how do you escape people? And they go, you really don't. I mean, you can stay in your room, which is in a kind of different area, but you kind of accept the fact that you're going to be at the bar, and people are going to come up to you, and they're going to want pictures, because that's what they paid for, and you just do it. You take 3 days if you're going to be immersed in with your fans. And if you're New Kids, like Donnie Wahlberg's out there knocking on people's doors, being like, hey, girl, hey, just having fun with it. So he just embraces it.
So if you own it, it's pretty great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly that. If you are not into being around people, probably not the environment
Big D
for
would
you.
Hate that.
Oh, my gosh.
But here's an interesting thing. If you've ever met Big D, he's probably the most social out of all of us. He will walk up to the crowd and be like, hey, I'm Big D, and just start talking to people. I hate doing that.
I know, and it's so effortless when you do it, D.
I would be better on the cruise because I'm down for just sitting in one spot and having beers with people.
But yet, you will hang out with random listeners that will be like, hey, I'm coming through town. You want to do lunch? And you'll do that.
Yeah.
Because none of the rest of us will do that. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
I don't know if I could go on a cruise again after that whole poop cruise thing.
Yeah.
I never saw that documentary.
No, I wasn't going to watch that. We did like a couple hour thing, like sailing a river at the last radio station I was at. And the problem was all the dudes I worked with were getting drunk and they're having fun. And I was like, well, someone's got to be responsible. And I turned into the school marm, which then all these listeners started sending tweets about how I was just a fun suck. They used some language that I will not use on the podcast. And I was like, someone had to drive home. Someone had to keep these guys from going overboard because I needed my morning show back on Monday. And yeah, it was a bad situation for me to be in because I was the only responsible adult. And that made me the bad guy.
They had come to us years ago. Do you remember that?
To do
like 15 years ago, they were like, hey, we want to see if you want to do a cruise for your listeners. And it was expensive. Like for people, and I'm like, why would anybody pay that much money to go and be on a cruise with us? I'm like, that's crazy.
I know a couple of radio personalities currently who are.
They do the cruises?
Posting that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh. Wow. But they have to get a certain number of people to sign up in order for theirs to be free.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Yep. So that's another reason that I don't think we would ever partake.
Yeah,
because it feels
kind of icky. Yeah,
it's I didn't care for it.
I wanted to do back in the day. Remember when Disney used to do the things with the radio people, and they would invite radio like morning shows.
They still do.
I thought they finished.
No,
that.
They still. But it's all a lot of local because I follow so many radio people on Instagram, and I've seen so many that were posting from Christmas and the Halloween parties, and I'm like, how do we get invited? I want to do that.
Why would they not talk with us?
I don't know.
A national show. I'm sorry, a global show when you're talking about the AFN reach as well.
Well, 2026 Schaefer checklist.
Yeah, but then we'd have to go.
Dude, that would be awesome.
You could
awesome.
Send me. I could be your correspondent.
Carson and I could go and you could stay back here.
Oh, that sounds great.
I know you don't want to do all the walking. Dude, we'll get you a lark.
I can see the.
You could be at Disney.
Oh my gosh.
You could be at Disney and the lark. Move!
Yeah, the problem is everybody in Disney's on a lark. As somebody who got back from there recently, I can tell you it is a swarm of scooters.
Who wants to play a game?
Me.
All right.
This is an actual game. Okay. I was like, oh, we're going straight from. I was hoping we continue to follow up on this Disney thing. That needs to happen.
Okay.
I love Disney. Okay, now let's play a game.
Can you guys, how many song, the number one most played country songs of 2025?
Okay.
On reporting radio stations.
Okay.
So,
I got better. Morgan Wallen.
Co-Wetzel, I wrote.
Morgan Wallen. No, that one is not it. No. What'd you say, Carson?
High Road, Co-Wetzel.
Yes, at number two.
What?
Yep.
Okay, all right.
As somebody who schedules music, there is one Coe Wetzel song in our library. So whenever there's, oh, we can't play too many Morgan Wallen songs close together. Cool, we got Coe Wetzel.
Oh,
so that's part of the reason things like that happen.
So it's not going to be anybody like Jelly Roll.
No, it's
Roll
still a good song. It's just that when you have a great song like that, but it's somebody who doesn't have the library around him that a Morgan does, you know, that a Luke Combs does.
Okay, so it's got to be somebody somewhat new.
Because even you'd think like, Post would be in there somewhere. You get Posty, but because
Post Malone is in there at number 10.
But he's got too many songs.
Because he's butt up against himself.
With Pour Me a Drink.
Would it be Megan Maroney this year?
She's not in the top 10.
Oh, really? Ella Langley.
Not in the top 10.
No, she was still. She still has had five.
Riley.
No, it's
not in the top 10. You're missing a big
one. It's got to be somebody.
Who's a guy?
Hold on, I'm not done. I'm just kind of going through here. Tucker Wetmore!
Not in the top 10.
Wind up missing what?
Oh,
you guys are missing a big one. It's everyone likes this guy.
Luke Combs. Oh,
Luke Combs is in there.
Zach
Top is at number 9. Wow, Luke Combs isn't in the top 10.
Yeah, because he's competing with himself.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Dickerson, Happen to Me, is number
that was
one.
A big song.
No.
Oh.
What?
Uh-uh.
So that's what I'm trying to think of, is who had one huge hit this year
and
nothing
it is.
Else?
It is. It's a big one.
Scotty McCreery?
No. Oh, it's a big one. It really is a big one.
Huge.
No,
Low Cash is at number 4 with Hometown Home.
Hometown Home, yeah. And they were also on the Country Cruising Cruise.
Shaboozy's at number 8.
Okay. Oh, that would have been a good one.
Jordan Davis, I Ain't Saying, at number 7.
Okay.
I would have thought Jordan had too many songs. Dylan Scott?
Nope. Number 6 is Jason Aldean, Whiskey Drink.
Mm-hmm. Drew Baldridge?
Nope. Morgan Wallen, number 5, I'm the Problem.
Cody Johnson?
Nope.
No?
Low Cash, Hometown Home.
Okay, don't give it up.
Number 3.
George Burge?
No. Morgan Wallen is at number 3 with Love Somebody. He's the only one on the
Kane
double.
Brown, Miles on it!
No.
No. Number 2 is Coe Wetzel High Road.
All right, so number 1, we got a process of elimination.
Don't tell us, D.
I know,
don't.
D.
You want me to tell you?
No.
No, not
yet. You guys
yet.
Want hints?
No, we really want to try to figure
this
out.
It's a guy.
Of course it's a guy. Hey.
It is a guy.
Who am I missing here? Who am I?
It's a really big, obviously it's a very big song.
Is it Hardy?
No.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Hudson Westbrook?
No.
I'm going through. I'm looking at different stuff.
It's not, but I'm just going to say Jackson Dean because I love him.
Nope.
Jackson Dean would have been a good one.
No, but I love
Sam
him.
Hunt.
Nope.
No.
It's a really,
Bailey Zimmerman.
No, it's a really big artist.
That would have been good, too.
One of the biggest, actually.
Hold on.
Jelly Roll?
Jelly Roll, Liar.
Oh, I thought we'd already said Jelly Roll wasn't.
No.
I thought somebody. Oh,
because
Bubba said Jelly Roll and you did.
He goes, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought we'd eliminate.
Yeah. He got it with one of the biggest. And then I was like, oh, okay. I don't know if that's a size joke or a size.
I would think he would be competing with himself a lot, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We played a lot of Jelly. And Jelly's on. It's the same thing with Morgan. There are so many features with Jelly this year.
How many Jelly Roll songs are number one?
But is that just country radio or is that across all?
That was country radio.
Okay. Because, of course, Jelly Roll also gets played in other formats.
Right. Jelly has Son of a Sinner, Need a Favor, Save Me, I'm Not Okay, Halfway to Hell, and Liar. 6 number ones? Wow, is that right?
Yeah.
That's a lot in a short amount of time.
Wow, okay. Guess I didn't realize.
Well, and then when you get into scheduling, like I just heard Chevrolet a couple minutes ago, and you've got to... You know, you got to get that kind of stuff out of the way.
Dustin Lynch would have been in there. Yeah. Where was that on the list?
I don't know.
I feel like that was more than this past year. That might have been a last year song.
Yeah.
I get everything bleeds together. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, me either. I was trying to do some of these year in review things from the show. We were kind of like, hey, remember we did this in the summer or whatever? And one of them was Nikki with 2 K's. And they were like, no, that was like 2 years ago.
Let's see.
That's adulthood. Everything bleeds together.
You ever go look? What were your things? How old did your Spotify say you were?
Me?
Yeah.
69.
Your Spotify said you were 69?
Yeah.
Wow.
My Spotify told me I am 78.
I think
you're older than me?
Yes, because you were into music from the early 60s. Because, like the Rolling Stones are among my top artists.
Yeah, I know.
My listening age? 85.
Dude, I'm not even joking.
Because I listened to a lot of 1950s, like, you know, old Motown, 60s.
My brother's was 100.
What?
Because he listens a lot of stuff from the 30s and 40s.
And I listen to a lot of Sinatra and things, too.
Yeah, no, but he's listening to, like... Like, my brother is this huge Bing Crosby fan, not just Christmas. And so he listens to, like, stuff from before World War II. And I'm like, that's even on Spotify? I didn't know that. I thought, like, I didn't know Spotify went that far back. And he's like, yep, that's where I get most of it. I said, oh, okay.
Wow.
But, oh, incredible. Do you know what I got? People were impressed with my fandom because I was in the top 0.4% of listening to my favorite artist.
Barry Manilow!
Ghost.
Oh. Ghost.
Yeah, that they were my top artists of the year because I kept streaming their new album. I just kept putting it on repeat. Yeah. And they were like, you're a 0.4% global fan.
So you're possibly the biggest fan in the entire United States.
That our buddy with Barrett with guns over there, Zach.
Yeah.
He's like, he keeps sending me messages about Ghost because he's a big fan. And he was like, whoa, you're really into them.
Wait a second. You and Zach Barrett text each other?
We go back and forth in DMs on Insta. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
All that tells me is that there's bigger Ghost fans than you because you're not 0.1.
That's true. Oh, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I'm close.
My top songs are all by Hawaiian artists. Like, it's so weird. I've got like my top three albums, Red Garland's Piano. Because I listen to a lot of piano jazz, like just while I'm hanging out, just relaxing. And then Waylon Jennings' new album, Songbird, was my number two. By the way, that album is solid. And shout out to Shooter for putting that together. Basically found a bunch of unfinished Waylon songs. And he just went and, as a labor of love, put a new album out for his dad. And it's good. Nobody really talked about that album this year, but... It's so solid.
Literally, it takes you, oh my gosh, it's like 20 plus songs that your top songs of 2025, they are literally all Ghost until you get to the theme from The Haunted Mansion. Because it's on my Halloween playlist.
What?
How are you? You're on a list.
Hey, watch out, move.
Definitely on a list.
I am. They're like, what is wrong with this person? Do we need to get her medication?
And you went at Halloween, right?
I went in August, but they did the Halloween parties.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we did the parades. I went trick-or-treating. We got the themed food. It was so much fun.
We got to get a Christmas tree.
You still haven't done it?
Now I'm getting to the point of like...
That is the most D thing ever.
Then I'm like, kind of like, but do we need it now?
Have you
do
decorated
we need...
anything else in the house, though?
No, uh-uh.
Stop it. Really?
Mm-mm.
What about your your exterior illumination game?
No.
What?
Not
I just added to mine yesterday.
Wow.
And our neighbor next to us put a whole, I think it's...
Is that the new person?
Yeah. They did that thing where they put, it's the entire house, like, up the frame, you know, where they have the big white balls of light all the way around. And the one next to them did it, and across the street they did a thing. But if you wait long enough, you know, they just stop breathing.
Wow. So did you guys see the thing about Vanna? I know y'all are big Wheel of Fortune fans.
Oh, my God. Have you seen him lately?
Who?
Seacrest?
No. What happened?
He's had work going.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Like unrecognizable?
He had the buckle fat removal. He had the shaping of the cheekbones.
No,
you can tell.
Oh, no. Like Wednesday did...
Yeah.
And Miley?
Madonna, all of them.
Oh,
yeah,
why?
Yeah.
Do they do that? It
yeah,
makes
the girl
them look
from
skeletal.
The Boys, who doesn't even look like herself anymore. Moriarty, I think is her name.
I mean, it's straight, like, Castle Grayskull, man.
It does. It's like Skeletor is in the building.
And I think because he used
to be... So he looks like that now?
Because I think he used to be chubby. And he said that. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen pictures of it. But he made a comment, actually, on an episode the other night that somebody... I don't know. They were talking about... Something about weight came up with one of the contestants because now they have to share everything about their lives. They don't shut up. But he made some sort of, like, kind of self-deprecating quip. And I was like, Seacrest, you are not fat, sir, by any stretch of the imagination. But he might have that mentality.
This headlines, Ryan Seacrest's face is more tuned up than everybody's car.
What was a Vanna stuff?
Oh, yeah, what's Vanna?
Vanna was saying she was going to retire with Pat. When he stepped aside, she was done. She was like, yeah, see you later. I'm out, too. And apparently they came back and threw a bunch of money at her and said...
I thought that was common knowledge.
No, I didn't know that.
That was the really big thing, was they were like, we need her for the transition because we can't just throw people into Seacrest with nothing. They needed a bridge, and Vanna was the bridge.
She got Mike Elkode.
I'm looking at Ryan. He still looks
Ryan. I'm glad you got that.
I don't know who Mike Elkode is.
Texas A&M coach.
Yeah, I'm looking at Ryan. He still looks like Ryan in this photo, which they said it's from December, so...
I don't know. On the show, he's looking like somebody hooked his face up to a vacuum.
Huh. Okay, that's weird. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of neat that, you know, she was going to step away. That would have changed it. I don't know if you guys, and I think they had y'all in mind because they knew that if somebody wasn't there, if Pat was gone and Vanna was gone, you guys were out.
Yeah, I still kind of got
out. I still would have left it, but it's every once in a while, D and I will text me, realize we're both watching, because I'll shoot him a text about, again, some contestant won't shut up. I don't care that you dressed as a potato for Halloween. Solve the puzzle. They do. They're trying to make the contestants now have a personality. Like, here's the thing. Pat would be like, so you're married. Yes, I am married to my amazing husband, and we have three beautiful children, and I spent my life as a school librarian. Cool, move along. And now we get these people's backstory. They're telling us about the pet they grew up with, and I'm going, shut up! Yep. Solve the puzzle! Yep. What are we doing? And they're all trying to have that personality. They're trying to be quirky and fun, Ryan! Stop it. Solve the puzzle.
Actors? Because I know a lot of game shows, they bring in actors.
Have you ever seen old episodes of The Price is Right where Linda Cardellini was on? What's his face from Breaking Bad? Aaron Paul?
Yeah.
He won a washer and dryer. All those people, It's also something to do. If you're not getting auditions, you're we'll go show up on The Price is Right today and maybe win an appliance.
I miss the old Price is Right where all this stuff would go around in a circle and it had price tags on it.
Yes.
And you'd pick it. And you'd, I'm going to take the washer and dryer set for, $250.
Yeah, and then everything that was left over went on the service merchandise gift card.
Oh my gosh. That's right?
Then it would be okay, Pat, I'm going to go to the... You'd have their face in the circle. Looking at the display, and they'd be I want the dog. There was always the ceramic dog umbrella holder. That for some reason retailed for $200. Who paid that in real life?
Oh, it's the best.
But you have $35 left. I'll put that on a service merchandise gift card.
Service merchandise, man.
That was where everybody went and got their jewelry repaired. Remember that? They would fix your necklaces.
I didn't know what they were when I was a kid because... I guess we didn't have one in my little town, so I didn't know what a service merchandise was.
Isn't that the one where you go in and you fill it out on a piece of paper and then they bring it out to the dock?
Yes.
You pull up to the back and they load it off the dock. They don't have they just have one, what do you call it, a display. But everything else is in a warehouse.
Yeah. So you take a paper, a little number, and you bring that to the counter and you pay with the little slip of paper.
Okay. Yeah, I did not. I never got to peruse one.
It's kind of like GameStop.
Oh, okay.
You go to GameStop and they have the games on display and you pull it off the wall and you go bring it to them and then they take it and put it back. Yeah. Anyway. Hey, what's the thing with whatchamacallit, Hunger Games? Are they doing a new one?
Yeah, there's a prequel. Songbirds and Siren. I don't know. I have the book at my house.
I still haven't seen the one about snow.
Yeah, that might be the song. Because there's two. That's the movie that's coming out is the snow prequel movie that shows you how he...
I thought they already did the snow prequel.
Did they? Gosh, I'm behind on the Hunger. Okay. So the snow prequel, I've read that book. And then I have the other book sitting at the house currently because my dad bought it. Did the snow movie come out? I don't know, but it's...
I don't know. I could look.
Yeah, I'm not sure which movie is which at this point, but...
Big D's into The Hunger Games.
I actually did like The Hunger Games.
I did too.
I did. I kind of get a little lost when they keep going, and then they got to do more of the story, and then more characters, and then I'm like...
That first book, and the movies subsequently, they are really, really good. Even, you know, it's easy to be like, oh, they're YA. But the story itself, the woman said she was watching, like she saw Keeping Up with the Kardashians next to a commercial about children starving. And she just, the juxtaposition so startled her. She came up with this idea. And it's so well done. And even the movie, because they got really good younger actors to be in it, like your Jennifer Lawrence and Josh Hutcherson, but it's I love the Hunger Games.
The
so
Ballad
good.
Of Songbirds and Snakes is the first one. That's the snow one.
Yeah.
The next one is Sunrise on the Reaping. And
About Haymitch. That's about their mentor.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
that's
it is.
Haymitch's games.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Haymitch
this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, this. Where it just gets too much. Like,
it
I can't
gets too
keep,
lost, yeah.
Yeah, I get too much.
Yeah, I have Sunrise on the Reaping is sitting literally next to my remote control, sitting on my end table right now. My dad, because my dad's a big Hunger Games guy, and my dad will still, yeah, he loves it. And he'll buy, my dad's a big reader, that's where I get it from, and he will still buy physical copies of books. He has them shipped to the house, and when he got the new book, when I was at their house in June, he sent it home with me. And I was like, no, Dad, don't you want to read it? He's like, no. Bring it back at Christmas. I've had 6 months I haven't read this yet because I am a terrible child. I've been reading other things. And I'm like, I've got to read this before Christmas because I got to bring it back to my dad.
So when Alexander Ludwig came in, it was already after the Hunger Games came out, right?
Yeah, it had been long ago. Yeah, so I think the original Hunger Games came out.
Why did you not fangirl on him on that? Because
I might have put it in the caption.
Oh, you did?
Of the picture that I posted with Alex?
Oh,
yes,
see, I
did.
I don't remember that. Yeah, because he was in Hunger Games as well. He was like one
Cato.
Of the... Yeah, he
played
was
Cato.
The water guy, right? Like the people from the water district or whatever?
I think he was District 1.
Okay.
But he, which it might have been. But he, I actually have I have a PETA blanket, which is Josh Hutcherson. And so I think I was like, I'm not going to tell you that I have a PETA blanket. I think I made a joke about it to him. And he was like, oh. And I said, well, at least it's not yours. At least I'm not the, you know, a dork fan and you're sitting next to me. So.
I have a tortilla blanket.
Did you get one of those?
Yeah, I did. Like several years ago. It's just goofy. It's just a blanket that looks like a tortilla. And when you said a PETA blanket, I'm like, oh, it reminds me of my tortilla blanket. Mm-hmm.
By the way, my chair is doing great. The one I bought on Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace.
Awesome.
So now that you've sat in it, Big D went and bought a chair on Facebook Marketplace, went to these people's houses.
Drove an hour one way.
Never sat in the chair and bought it. How do you not test drive the chair?
Yeah, I mean,
was it just nerves?
It was just one of those. I was like, yep. Yeah.
You knew what you wanted.
It's like, yeah.
You eyeballed it.
I've had a hot dog before.
Yeah.
I know what else. I don't have to taste it and then go, yeah, okay, I'll take that. I already know what it tastes like. So I sat in chairs like that before. I was like, yeah, I get it. It's good. It's fine.
There was a Reddit post that went kind of viral.
I also bought an airplane that way.
Oh.
You did.
Bought an airplane. Never seen it in person.
Somebody sold a couch on Reddit. And it was a fairly new couch, and they just said, and somebody came and they picked it up, and 2 days later they came home and the couch was back on their porch, and the person was like, this couch smells, it's terrible, I've brought it back for you, I want my money back. And the person's on Reddit going like, what do I do? And everyone's like, dude, sell it again, don't give them their money back. Because they were like, what a weird, like, you came, you picked up a couch, and then you hauled it all the way back. Like, if that had happened to you for some reason, you didn't like the chair, I don't think you were going to try to bring it back to them. It's like, that's, especially if you weren't guaranteed the money back, if you hadn't decided on that. Like, they just dropped off the couch and then were like, give us our money back. How about no and I block you?
How about no and I block you?
How about
no and I block you?
And I block you. I do love a good block.
It's like your good breakup there, the blocks. All right.
I can't believe he's gone or he's leaving. John Michael Montgomery.
Yeah.
Tonight's the last show.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's
weird. I'm glad we got to talk to him on the show. Like, I'm so glad that he was cool and was like, yeah, I'll call in and kind of give it, because he's one of those guys that was there when we started, and it was just it was a shock to us to see that he's stepping away. And if you missed the interview, stick around after the closing jingle, and you'll be able to hear from John Michael Montgomery.
Oh, this was it.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day.
It was the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Yeah, it was.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast. The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
The Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
John Michael Montgomery, ladies and gentlemen, on the hotline. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Big D and Bubba. How you guys been doing, man?
Man, it has been a long time since we've talked.
By the way, you've made a mistake, sir. You are not you're not retiring. Your last show is not tomorrow. You have got to stay in the game. We need you.
All right, let me just call everything off.
So, what is this kind of one of those things like an athlete who's like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and retire while I still have knees, while I can walk away, you know? Because you see a lot of people who, when they sing, you lose your voice as you get a little older. I can't sing. That's what happened to me.
Well, you know, there's no doubt about it. You know, I mean. The traveling, you know, which is a must and big part of trying to do shows, is when you get 60 years old, when you get 55 years old, I found out, you know, 5 years ago, I started noticing, you know, that the traveling was really starting to take a toll on my body. And then COVID hit and I had a year off, which, was weird and crazy. But at the end of that year, I was like, wow. My body feels like really good, you know, and I've got, you know, voice rest, body rest, everything at the end of the year. And I was like, man, I didn't realize how much traveling, you know, touring,
wears you down,
putting a wear and tear on my body.
Well, that's just too bad. That's just too bad. That's too bad, John Michael. We need you. You can't get out of this. I'm so bummed. I'm so literally, truly, personally bummed.
We talked to your brother about you recently because we thought you guys were going to be doing a big tour together, and there was all these announcements, and then all of a sudden it was like, I'm done.
I'm calling it quits Friday.
Well, you know. I cut the tour and the shows in half from 70 to 35 after COVID, went back out and everything like that. And that worked for a little while. But then, then I had that bad bus wreck about 3 years ago, broke four ribs and looking out the, you know, out through a windshield on I-75 going, the damn good thing I ain't a cat because I done run out of nine lives by now. And you know, but, you know, you just, I'm like, you wake up, like you said, it's like a pro athlete finally wakes up one day and you go, you know what, this is a young man's game. And, I've been doing it for over three decades and I've enjoyed the heck out of it, you know. But, and people ask me all the time, they're like, so are you never going to sing again? I'm like, I never said I wasn't ever going to sing again. I just said I'm done touring, you know. I mean, I kind of like George Strait did back when he, you know, turned 60. It's like, touring's a big deal. Every year, you know, you gotta get prepared for the next year and all that kind of stuff. So there's a whole lot to it, but the wear and tear on my body, you know, it just don't lie, you know. I'm walking around like an 80-year-old man, not a 60-year-old man.
Well, as fans, we are very sad that, somebody didn't get to see you in the past couple of years, that they're not going to get the chance to see you moving forward.
Final show for John Michael Montgomery is tomorrow night, Rupp Arena, Kentucky, and we'll talk with John Michael Montgomery. Kind of going back and looking at some of the songs, it's a true honor for us. You know, when you look back, you're going to reminisce. What are some of the moments that you go, oh, wow, I can't believe I got to do that?
Oh, I mean, you know, I think, first of all, back when, 1992, Life's a Dance came out, you know, I really didn't give that song much of a chance because I really loved I Love the Way You Love Me, you know, and I wanted it to come out first. And, of course, Life's a Dance came out and, you know, people loved it. But having I Love the Way You Love Me come out and being my first number one hit single on here, and Bob Kingsley say my name on American Country Countdown, you know,
yeah,
which people are like, who was that or whatever, yeah. You know, I mean, that's when you're going, man, this really is happening to me, isn't it? You know, and, from that time on, I'm thinking, wow, you know, they always said if you got one, you know, one number one hit, you'd never have to have a real job the rest of your life. You could, you mm-hmm. know, make a living picking and singing. So I was like, hurrah, you know, but, you know, cause you never know at that point, you know, it's like, okay, am I going to have more or is this it? You know, sure. One hit wonder, you know, yeah. All that kind of stuff. So
you had a couple
turned out to be a great decade.
Yeah. You had a few hits in the '90s.
I still think the song that is the most impactful. A lot of people say Letters from Home and all that, but when The Little Girl came out, the abuse song, it was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I've ever heard anyone before or since sing about that topic.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy because we were, you know, I was in at the label and that we were playing songs and stuff and they played me that song and I just, I mean, there was like silence afterward and they said, so is this something you think you would cut? And I said, if I don't cut that song, I need to quit making music, singing country music. And so I cut it, but the last thing I expected was the label to actually come out with it as a single because of the topic, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. it talks about some serious stuff and
yeah.
kind of dark, you know, and once again, I was thinking, man, I don't know if radio will play this or not, you know, and I mean, radio jumped all over it. And I remember I remember listening to someone radio station, the label played for me. They, you know, they recorded it. Some lady literally had to pull off the road and she called in and, you know, was just bawling her eyes out. And, you know, and I was like, wow. You know, I mean, of course I know how that song, you know, I mean, when I heard it, it dropped me, you know, I mean, it just it tore me all to pieces. I mean, and those are the kind of songs I love singing. If they don't make you laugh or make you cry, you know, make you think, you know, I mean, stuff like that, then, you know, they're really not going to, you know, touch people's real lives, you know, I mean, and that song right there definitely did that, no doubt about it, most powerful song. I call them story songs, you know, and I think I got a love for them songs back in the 70s when the old CB trucker songs were out, you know, Red Soul Vine, guys
Teddy
like
Bear.
That, you know, had them trucker songs, and they would tell these stories. They couldn't sing, but they'd tell these stories, and they'd just sit there, and you'd just be bawling your eyes out. And at the end of the song, you know, it turned out to be a, you know, great, beautiful ending. And,
but
that song, Letters from Home, I would say Letters from Home is probably one of my all-time favorites I ever cut.
It's my favorite. I mean, it's my favorite song.
Every time we play it, Big D's like, he says it.
It gets me every time, and I've listened to it 1,000 times.
Well, I've sang it more than that, so yeah, it's a beautiful song. That's the other thing. I remember hearing stories about, you know, from about artists, you know, before I made it, you know, about, you know, the record label would make them cut a song, and it, you know, because it was a guaranteed hit. And it ended up being a guaranteed hit, but the artist absolutely hated singing it. And one of those was Keith Whitley, which is one of my, you know, favorite singers. He apparently hated singing Miami, Miami.
Oh, wow.
And I got that from the guitar. His guitar player, you know, played at Austin City with me there, you know, after Keith passed away and all that. And I was like, really? And I was thinking, man, I can't imagine having a hit record and hating singing it, you know. So when I got my record deal and all that stuff, I really tried to cut songs that I was like, I want to be in love with this song as much as I am 25 now, 25 years from now as I am now. And, you know, one of the things that people ask me, how do you know? I would play a song. I would put it on repeat if I had liked a song, and I would put it on repeat on my CD player that people, you know, CD player. And every time I got in my pickup truck or my car, that song would come on, start playing again, and I'd listen to it for 2 and 3 weeks straight. And if I didn't get tired of it, I'm like, I'm cutting it.
That's the one. Well, man, we want to say thank you for the years of music and all the life memories that people have connected with you.
Man, I appreciate it. I've been so fortunate to, you know, to come from where I, you know, come from. I mean, you know, me and my brother Eddie, you know, obviously coming up, you know, musical family. Mom played drums, dad picked guitar and sang. We had, you know, we were weekend warriors of, you know, playing here, playing there. And then, you know, ever since me and Eddie was like 6 and 7 years old, you know, playing nightclubs and never ever dreaming that we would ever, you know, be where we're at today. I mean, I was very fortunate, you know, Atlantic Records came to Lexington, Kentucky and found me. I didn't have to go to Nashville. And, you know, me and my brother, neither one. So we're super fortunate to be able to have the careers that we have and be able to make the music that we have and be able to have the fan base that we have. And that radio, you know, support. Without you guys, you know, nobody would have ever been able to hear us. So appreciate you all even more.
Well, we appreciate you, I think, more than you appreciate us. We've got great memories from you. And the good news is anytime we want to visit with you, we just put the song on and we're back where we were back then.
We also have your phone number. We can call you. So there's that.
Oh, yeah. I heard y'all call my son-in-law. I got a brand new baby, you know, granddaughter, Charlotte, you know, so I'm a new granddad now. And you know, of course, both my kids, my daughter, Madison, who's got, you know, married to Travis, you know, and my son, Walker Montgomery, he's in the music business down there writing and on the road and all that. They both live in Nashville now. And so I'll still be connected to Nashville, but it'll be, you know, going down and seeing my kids.
Well, we get that.
For sure. But, well, go kill them tomorrow night, man. Have a wonderful blowout party and celebrating an unbelievable career. And we love you, bro.
It's in my favorite venue. I watched my Wildcats growing basketball.
Here we go.
Wildcats playing up
here. We go.
I watched all kinds of great concerts in there. Rep Arena is the ultimate venue to do a concert, and so it's the best place in the world for me to do my final show on the road. So I appreciate it. You guys have a wonderful Christmas.
And, you too, man.
And thanks again for, you know.
Don't. I'm going to get emotional. Yeah, stop.
Just be a dude and go, all right, man, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, later, man. Bye. Okay, bye, John. See you later. Bye-bye. Okay, see ya. Okay, bye. Hang up.
John Michael Montgomery.
The one and only. Unbelievable.